C6. Exercises in Culturing Consciousness According to the Matrix of Science and Health. Number 1A.
And so I just want to give you a short introduction into the whole problem we are discussing this week. And so I only want to state the problem, and in a way I would like to stretch a little bit your intellectual capacity tonight, and tomorrow we will then culture more the spiritual side of the whole problem. We all know that the world is changing. Everybody knows that. And we know that the world is changing very rapidly. And we know that too. Why? Well, we always know that the world is only changing when world consciousness is changing. So, because of a changed consciousness in the world is changing. And as the world consciousness is changing rapidly, the world is changing rapidly. But why is world consciousness changing so rapidly? Because of the divine idea. Not because of people, not because of any objective circumstances, but because of the divine idea. The divine idea is at work. And looking back historically, one always sees that there are periods when there is a great revolution taking place. And today one has a feeling, especially since World War II, that there is a new kind of renaissance taking place in the magnitude that is much bigger than the renaissance we had in the Middle Age. A terrific renaissance, a terrific changing of everything. What is that changing? What is that everything? Well, when one looks back at the time of the Renaissance, for instance, there were very few people who at that time really knew what's going on. The Renaissance really was bringing something terrifically new, but the general public didn't quite know what it was. And perhaps there were just a few who knew what was going on. And today it is the same thing. Everybody speaks about things are changing so rapidly, things are no more as they used to be, but things are changing within one generation just as much as 2,000 years before. But very few are realizing what is actually going on. Just that the world is changing doesn't really explain anything. So what is going on? And I want to try to show you what we think is going on. This Renaissance of today was ushered in actually by Mrs. Eddy as a forerunner, a forerunner of what we experience now 100 years later, and she introduced a completely new consciousness. A consciousness which perhaps we can reduce to perhaps two concepts, namely science and spirit, the science of spirit. In contradistinction to the science of matter, of natural science, that was really on its peak at her time, she was introducing the very opposite, the science of ideas, the science of spirit. Now we know that, but it was actually only, as far as we can see today in perspective, that when Mr. Dawley showed what these signs of spirit is, the inner relationship of these signs, the real content of what these signs of spirit is, that only then really we were becoming aware of what really Mrs. Eddy introduced. And if we look now back, I think we can see that the time when John Dawley introduced really the explanation of the signs of spirit, not the presentation of the signs of spirit as Mrs. Eddy has given it, but the explanation of the signs of spirit, that at that time, really, it was that time where we now begin to see that the world was beginning to change. The coincidence of the insight into the spiritual scientific idea that John Dawley had with what was going on in the world at large, especially in the world of sciences, that coincidence is not by chance. It is always so that the spiritual idea is having an impact on world consciousness, and when world consciousness changes because of that spiritual impact, then the whole world begins to change. Now, with every year that we have a wider perspective on John Dawley's work, I think we begin to understand him better and better. I don't think that at his time we really could see clearly what he gave us. We were impressed by it, we were very much impressed by it, we could say, but did we actually see the implication of what he introduced? Did actually John Dawley know what he introduced? Or was he a spiritual seer that was so imbued by the spirit of science that he had enough courage and enough insight into the whole subject to make it appear to us so that it really took our whole love and our whole sincerity to bring it forward? But did he know the bigness of what he was telling us? This is a question mark. Did he have to know what he was introducing? To my sense, he didn't have to know. Because every great reformer in the line of science cannot see at the beginning all the implications of what he was introducing. I'd like to read just one passage that I read in a book of a English scientist, What is Science, by Campbell, and he said, and I think this is so typical for John Dawley's contribution, he said, great men achieve more by their influence than by their direct action. They change the world by enabling others to complete what they have themselves begun. And in no direction is this more true than in a science. And I think that is what we have to see, that we are aware of the fundamental impact of his teaching, and not expect that he has told us everything that is implied by this impact, that it is up to another generation to find out all those impacts and to see the influence it has on the whole world and in every aspect and in every field of consciousness. Why do I say that? Because, as I said, practically with every oncoming year, we are not feeling that we leave Dondoli further behind, but just the other way around. That with every new year, we seem to come nearer to him in what he was actually giving to us and to the world. And I would like to show you this evening in a more first historical, intellectual concept, which afterwards, during the whole week, we can fall back to and see the tremendous outflow, the tremendous impact it has today on us. I think if we think back on those initial years of John Dorley, when he introduced a completely new concept of Christian Science into the Christian Science field of thought, I think the thing that did stand out was that he was hammering it down that Christian Science is a science, and that it has a system. And his favorite key sentence and quotation was that divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible and adapted to the age in which we live. So it was really the key tone of system that was relevant in his thinking and in his teaching. And I like to stress this because the world at large today, looking back on those years, First World War, that was a turning point. Looking back to that age, they begin to feel that they could call the new age, the new renaissance that has taken place since then, they could call it the system age. And you see how John Dorley, without knowing that, he was stressing that Christian Science, divine science, must be reduced to a system, that in system would lie really the main import of the Christian Science teaching. When today, at large, the thinkers, the philosophers of science especially, are speaking about the period that started with the Second World War as the Second Industrial Revolution, and as they call it the System Age, they naturally must somehow compare it with the age that was before. The age up to World War II was called the Machine Age. The Machine Age. So, can you see, at that very point when John Dorley presented his new vision, it was the same point where in world consciousness a terrific revolution took place from the machine age to the system age. Now, system is only the groundwork of any structure. Without system, there is no structure. But system alone is only the theoretical ground on which structure can be built. Therefore, we can see that the system age was basic to structural thinking, and the subject of our week, as you know, is that we want to exercise our consciousness by structuring consciousness according to the structure of the Christian Science textbook. So our subject is very modern, absolutely modern. It is trying to tackle the new way of consciousness, the new way of thinking in science, compared with the old way of thinking in science in the machine age. Now, sometimes I hear that people say, well, I don't want to structure consciousness. Well, that is okay for me. That's not my contention. My contention is not should we have a structured consciousness or not a structured consciousness. My job, I see, in another direction. Namely, is the Christian Science textbook, as it stands, as we have it, a structure or not? I'm not fighting with people if we should have a structured consciousness or not. I'm investigating the nature of the science, of Christian Science, as presented in the textbook. And does the textbook present a structure based on a system, or does it not? What then is the main, or what are the main factors of the consciousness in the machine age? So I just speak for a few minutes about what the machine age had as its basis in order to use it as a science. The machine age had three great scientific aspects. The first was, and I just enumerate them, the first was reductionism. Every scientific investigation was directed to reducing any subject to its ultimate elements, to its ultimate indivisible elements. So every scientist in any branch of science always took a subject that was given and tried to split it up and reduce it until he would come to the final indivisible unit. And you had that in every science. You had that in physics, you came down to the atoms. You had it in biology, and you came down to the ultimate element, the cells. You had that in chemistry, and you reduced all the chemical combination to the fundamental chemical elements. And we had that even in psychology, where Freud used to reduce everything to the id as the last indivisible element. So can you see what a scientific approach in the old way involved? To take a problem and take it apart until you found its ultimate indivisible element. That's one. A second way of using science in that age was analysis of the whole. You analyzed always the whole by explaining the component parts and explaining what these parts are, how they behave, what is the aggregate of this explanation. So it always tended to investigate the nature, the function, the behavior of the elements, of the parts. Third was mechanism. Everything was considered to be a phenomena that could be traced back to the mechanism of cause and effect, so that the law of cause and effect was ingrained into the scientific thinking. Now, if you take those three, you can see that we all, more or less, were educated in this kind of scientific approach. To take a problem, reduce it to its final elements, second, to explain those elements, what they are, how they function, how they behave, thinking that by explaining the elements you have an aggregate that would explain the whole, and third, always we would feel that everything runs like a machine, the whole world runs like a machine on cause and effect. Now, well, this is the way we were thinking in Christian Science. This has nothing to do with machines. It has to do with a way of scientific approach. And our scientific approach was, even in Christian Science, to take a problem, to reduce it first to its original unit or error, second, explain this error and explain it away afterwards. Third, the law of cause and effect, saying that if we take away the cause, we take away the effect. If we change the cause, we have a changed effect. Do you know what I want to say with this? I want to say that we have taken Christian Science, have investigated Christian Science, and have investigated it, what we were thinking, scientifically, but using the method of an age that is already antiquated, already obsolete. It's no more the new science. Another point about this machine age thinking was now just taken first from natural science, that they were always in that age concerned with what? Either with transformation of matter from one form into another form of matter. Second, conversion of matter into energy, or third, conversion of one form of energy into another. All three taken together was what? How to produce physical work, either matter or energy. It was all directed towards producing something and having power over matter or energy. And Christian Science has taken over that whole attitude, has taken it over and said, how can I use this way of scientific thinking for having dominion over matter, for bringing about one energy and transforming energies into energies, how to exchange human energy into divine energy. It was all energy and work. Now, look now at what happened afterwards. The new age, which came about, as I said, with the Second World War, and which introduced now the system age, no more the machine age, the system age, just as at the time of John Dorley he was always giving us that sense that we must see science as a system. He wasn't so much teaching us that we have to use Christian Science as power and power and to achieve something. He somehow, when you reason back and look back at those wonderful period at the end of the 30s, beginning of the 40s, he didn't ask how to get more power. He asked how to get more insight into the system, and today we would say structure, of being. Let me tell you quickly, without that we may understand a lot about it, that doesn't matter, we don't have to understand these things, what happened in the field of natural science. We only have to understand that there is a terrific new paradigm coming up, and that the old paradigm is obsolete, and then naturally see that we don't try to get hold of the new paradigm with the consciousness of the old paradigm. So, what was the new paradigm, the system age, that broke in with the 1940s? There, science underwent a terrific change. In place of the atom, they began to see something very different, namely that science had to do with symbols and not with atoms. That was the very first thing they began to realize, that instead of thinking about atoms, matter particles, the very essential thing in science would be symbols. When they began to see that, very soon after, that was about 1942. 1946, they began to see, no, there is something larger than symbol that constitutes science, namely language. I can't explain you everything what that is, but just listen to it, because afterwards you can hear the correlative in Christian Science. 1947, just 1 year later, we had that terrific book of Shannon about the mathematical theory of communication. They began to see that science had to do with communication, whatever that meant. And in the same year, just a few months later, Norbert Wiener came with cybernetics and said, everything has really to do with control. And finally, we had Bertalanffy a few years later that came up and said, there's something even bigger than that. Everything has to do with systems.